Minnesota Reads on Northland Morning is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Another one of those bridge builders, a guy who is standing there with his hands outstretched, trying to encourage people to cross the bridge into love of poetry. He's keeping 6 feet away at all times. He's always wearing his mask, but he's that guy. Our Duluth Poet Laureate, Mr. Gary Bolhauer. Hey, Gary, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Lisa. Thank you so much for having me on the show here.
So you've got a great project, a reading series. We're getting to that time of year where we're looking for things to do indoors, maybe on the computer just to be different.
That's right. A lot of things are happening on the computer these days that aren't happening person to person, or person to person in a different way, I guess. So I've organized really as my final project as Duluth Poet Laureate, which ends in 2020 here, three readings on Sunday afternoons starting this Sunday, September 13th, and then October 11th, and finally November 8th. From 3 to 4 in the afternoon, it's an open invitation for everyone to join us, and we're going to have a couple of featured poets each Sunday, beginning this Sunday with Phil Fitzpatrick, who's written an amazing, wonderful collection of poems about Hawk Ridge, and Daniel Oyenloye, who is an amazing spoken word poet and artist of all kinds. On October 11th, we'll have Deborah Cooper and John Harold, and November 8th, Sheila Paca and Blair Paulus. So we've got really an amazing list of poets who will be sharing their wisdom with us, sharing their amazing words. And then an open mic after each of the featured poets. So it's, I think, a wonderful way for people to spend an hour on a Sunday afternoon.
One of the magical things about poetry is while many of these online things, you kind of feel like you should be kind of glued to your phone or your tablet or your screen, and you should be watching what's going on in order to really take it in. You can listen to poetry. I sometimes think almost better, you know, if you decided, I'm going to clean my office today. I'm going to turn on this Zoom poetry event, and I'm just going to kind of tidy up quietly, and I'm going to listen to the poetry.
That's right. Listening is a key part of it, I think. There's a music with most poetry, I think, that gets into our bones and is a very important part of the poetic medium, if you will. So listening is something that we all need to do better, and I think that poetry can help us in that practice of listening deeply.
There was a time when kids were encouraged to memorize poetry, and I have talked with so many of these kids, and many of them, I think, were actually grew up in other countries where they needed to memorize big chunks of poetry, and it kind of put them off poetry, and I think that the poems that they were required to memorize were classics, air quotes, and so they didn't really speak to people. And for them now to kind of rediscover poetry and to give it a try again, to listen to contemporary poets, is giving people a whole new, it's giving them an access to a whole new place to find peace and understanding. I mean, I know that sounds kind of goofy and highfalutin, but it seems like they're discovering they can connect with it on a really deep level that I don't think they had ever suspected.
Yeah, so the latest research tells us that poetry reading is on the rise. Poetry, the purchase of poetry books is on the rise. For a number of years, it was going the other way. But I think you're right. I think that there are more people discovering that poetry is an accessible art. It's something that that they can really understand, and it's something that expresses the depth of our experience, whether that's our experience with nature or our experience with politics. You can find poets who are writing about all of the broad human experience. You know, as a matter of fact, poetry, I always say poetry saved my life. If I might, here's a poem about my own beginning poetry experience.
Is this one you? This is one you wrote yourself?
That's right. Yeah.
Fantastic.
It's called The Poem. I failed first grade. The teacher wrote on my report card, doesn't play well with others. But then, in second grade, I had a chance to recite a poem. I chose a poem my father loved, that he would recite from time to time, usually when he was drunk, usually late at night, slumped on the couch, a beer bottle firmly clutched in his hand, but a poem that became a song that reeled out of him like fish line being pulled by some insistent, invisible life below the surface of things. On those nights, I heard something more than the usual arguments and fights, a deeper rhythm that lived in him, greater than his disappointments, greater than the second shift at the paper mill. I recited that poem in front of my second grade class, and they clapped. I almost sang that poem, like my father did. The teacher asked me to recite it the next day for the third and fourth graders, too. So there's a way in which poetry really saved my life. I was going downhill. Kindergarten, first grade weren't too good. But somehow poetry allowed me to find my voice and to become engaged with experience in a way that that allowed me to make art and to be appreciated for the art that I could make.
When you discover that love of language, there's a part of your brain that's always, how could I describe this to someone so that they could see it the way I see it? How could I describe this to someone so they could feel it the way I feel it?
Yeah. And that's what poetry tries to get at, right? To really invite the other person into that experience. And it's really sort of paradoxical, but I find that when I write poetry that is deeply about my own experience, it's then that people can identify their own experience. You know, they can enter into their experience because I've somehow provided an aperture, a way in, a way of seeing about my experience. And we can connect at that fundamental level of human experience. So it's a powerful medium that tries to get at that sense of depth of feeling and depth of experience.
The Second Sunday Poetry Series is going to be conducted over Zoom, and we will get some information up so it will be easy for folks to find out more information. Gary, what would you and I are both people of a certain age who are up to our ears in new technology. Is there anything that you would say to people who say, oh, I've not ever done a Zoom meeting before? I'd like to attend this thing, but I'm scared of the Zoom thing. I don't know how to do it.
Yeah, it's really, really, really easy. So when people ask to be registered for the program, I will send them a link, and they can simply click on that link or put that link in their browser, and it will connect them to the reading.
Are the when you send people that email, is the email itself, the instructions and the information, is it in a poem? Have you crafted a poem around the instructions and here is your link?
Oh,
and
my.
Here is your password.
You're always giving me these challenges.
I am. Yeah, I am. Yeah, it's kind of how I roll.
Yeah.
All right. Well, look, you've got Phil Fitzpatrick and, you know, and Daniel available to you. You have all of these magical poets available to you. If I were you, I would send them all the assignment and have them ready, have it ready to go by Sunday.
Again, there you go.
We'll get some information set up on our website so it'll be easy for folks to find out how to register, and plenty of time available then for you to touch base with somebody and ask questions about getting set up for your first Zoom meeting. I walked my mom through it not that long ago, so it can be done, and you'll be glad that you have learned that new skill in addition to everything else. Gary, thanks a million for joining us this morning. Talking with you is always just the best.
Thanks, Lisa.
Gary Bullhauer, our guest this morning, Duluth's Poet Laureate, in one of his final projects, he says, as the Duluth Poet Laureate. He has organized a series of Second Sunday readings. They're going to be held via Zoom. As I mentioned, we'll get all the information up so it will be easy for you to figure out how to join. Minnesota Reads on KUMD is produced here at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.